Hey everyone. Hey, thanks for coming. Sorry about it being so crowded, you know, just squeeze in, I guess. My name's Paul Sterling. I work with Embraco, the open source CMS. And this session is about deploying Embraco using the Windows Azure Accelerator for Embraco. So I'm just gonna jump right in. Objectives, we'll just look at why we use an accelerator approach as opposed to just doing it. What it actually is, how the accelerator works. I'll give you a demo so you can actually see it, and then I'll show you where to get it if you haven't already found it. Okay, so why the accelerator approach? Well, there's a lot of moving parts to an Azure solution, as particularly an Azure solution that happens to be based on Embraco. There's the storage account, there's the SQL Azure connection and databases, there's the RDP and certificate configuration, there's the syncing configuration. There's a lot of parts and pieces. So the idea is to reduce the complexity. And by doing that, it helps to make your deployment successful. So all you need to know are the stuff that you are already going to know. And that's the keys for your Azure storage account, your SQL Azure access information, and the path to your local install or a copy of Embraco. And that's all you need to know to get going. And then the accelerator provides two approaches. Essentially, there's a guide you can walk through step by step, which a lot of us like, and there's also this wizard, and you can see here we've spent a lot of time on the UI of that wizard, so that's what it looks like. And what it actually is a way to simplify deploying Embraco to Azure in an optimal configuration, so across multiple nodes, right, not just on one Azure node instance. It lets you repeatedly make deployments that you can count on successfully working. Lets you leverage all the strengths of Azure, which there are many. These are the three that I like to call out just because I think it's something that you don't always get in traditional hosting unless you make a pretty significant investment of time and some money. And that's the idea around redundancy and reliability because you're running across multiple nodes, the elimination of the management overhead, by and large, and, of course, the global presence if you take advantage of any of the CDN or traffic manager parts of Azure. And then some of the nice parts are you can spin up from nothing to a full public Embraco instance in less than an hour. I think I've got it down to about 18 and a half minutes or something if everything goes well. But we won't I won't test that right now. And then you can do minute updates literally in just minutes. And by the nature of Azure and the way you can swap instances, there's no downtime at all. So that's a really compelling piece because you can make updates to your app while it's running on the fly. And how it actually works is it's actually pretty simple in what it does. So three main parts. One, you actually deploy the accelerator using traditional or standard Azure deployment. And that's the accelerator contains the bits that do some things. And those things are, it creates an IIS site on each node instance that you have as part of your role. It maps the host name or your domain to that instance. It updates Embraco's distributed publishing configuration, which is important because you want to make sure all of your front-end nodes are representing the same content. And then it continually syncs files from your node instances back to your storage account, back to the blob storage, and vice versa. So if you are bringing up more instances, it will copy those files over. If there are changes being made on the front end by your user, say, with user-generated content, that's going to come back to the blob storage, so you're always going to have that updated. And then that's kind of all of part one, deploying the accelerator. And then part two is go ahead and you actually have to move your Embraco site up to Azure blob storage. That's pretty straightforward. And finally, there's this idea of two-way synchronization that I mentioned, and that's about keeping everything in sync across all instances and then kind of a master copy in your blob storage if you want to think about it like that. Okay. And then let's go ahead and do a demo because I think that's why folks are here. I want to see how this thing works, and it's the best part anyways. Okay. So I'll show you where this actually lives on CodePlex. At the end, there's a slide with a really, really long URL. But when you first download this and extract it, you get some pretty good documentation, starting with an overview that may look familiar to something we just saw, as well as some prereqs, and then a link to getting started. The Get Started doc is essentially the step-by-step guide. So you can follow through this if you like, and you end up with a successful Embraco deployment to Azure. The first thing you're going to do, assuming you have an Azure account, is to create an Azure storage account. And I've already done that, so I'm going to go ahead and just flip over to the management portal and get that. So it's called Embraco Cloud. This is my storage account, and I just need to grab the access key here. So if anyone wants to write this down so you can access it, go ahead and do that. And then coming back to the guide, it says start the setup script, which I like to call the wizard. So we'll just launch our wizard. And it wants us to give it the storage account name and the key, which I will not try and type. Right. So that actually updates the configuration for the Embraco accelerator configuration. And what we're going to do next is actually deploy the accelerator to Windows Azure. And this is the part that you have to do no matter what app. And when you do your initial deployment, the deployment screen or new service screen is going to look just like this. It's got quite a few details. One thing I do want to point out is the region that you created in should be the same region where you've created your storage account and your database, right? So this stuff should all live locally, unless you have a more complex setup, but that's the default. So don't spread them across different data centers. Otherwise, you're going to pay a tax in terms of accessing that data across the network. So let's go ahead and do that. Again, back in our Azure Management Portal, I'll go to Hosted Services. Here's the service I have running, and I'm just going to do a new deployment within this service right here. This is going to be staging. So this could be, let's call this version 1.1. This would sort of represent maybe an update to our site. And before I do that, of course, I need to actually create the package. So the accelerator also ships with a Visual Studio solution that's all ready to go. You don't actually have to do anything here unless you want to. So by default, you get two instances of extra small. You can certainly change that to be anything you like. But all we need to do is publish this and create a local service package. And that just contains the Azure-specific package for the actual accelerator. And conveniently, I get the folder that Visual Studio creates it in, so I'll just copy that. And then back in the management portal, I'll just point it there. And likewise, the configuration file. So that configuration file essentially contains the key to access our Azure storage. That's really what's in there. I'll do that. And then Azure is going to upload this. It's going to unpack it and go ahead and deploy it per the configuration. So it'll end up looking a lot like this, which we'll see in just a second. This takes 10 to 15 minutes, more or less. So let's head on back while that's happening and get going on the rest of our deployment. So just down here, continuing along, we're going to go ahead and set up our database, which is the next step. So in the management portal, we've got a database server, this guy, and it just has a master database right now. So we just need to go ahead and update this, and what we're going to do is create an Embraco database with the schema and the base data. And this should be masked here as a password, but it's not. And that's not looking great right there, because what it should do is go out directly. And so it's actually saying, network timeout. Excellent. That is excellent. Let's try it again. So I'm going to, when you set up a database and I just did this like literally 15 minutes ago, so I didn't. Not sure. But when you set up a database, you need, by default, it doesn't have any, there's no way to access it from outside, right? So you need to actually set up some firewall rules to allow you to access. So here, this rule here is going to allow us in, and it's As far as I can tell, that's the right IP address. So I don't know if something else is going on. But so you need to have access to it by granting your local IP. Let's go ahead and just start this over real quick. Okay. Okay. And one more try. So back in our management portal again, we are looking at our database. And it has this name. Let's make sure I've got it correct. So it's GVSORARR2C. Okay. And we're going to create a database called Embraco Cloud. And username, umbdbadmin, and of course the password, which you all have written down already. And then we'll see if that actually works. And it does this time, so obviously that was my mistake. So this is pretty exciting. You get to watch some screen scroll by for a few seconds, and what it's actually doing is creating the database in the database server, as well as setting up the schema and the initial Embraco data, base data. And when that's done, which will just be a second here, we're all set. And then we can come back and just have a look, and we'll see that we've actually created this Embraco Cloud database. And it's got something in there. Great. So next, we actually want to download Embraco. And you can get Embraco from embraco.codeplex.com. You literally just download this first package here. That's just the binaries, and extract those locally somewhere. So I happen to have them right here in this guy. Okay, and then the next piece we're going to need to do is actually create a session state database. So by default, ASP.NET web apps use in-process session state, right? Which you can't do with Azure because we're working across multiple instances. So it's not going to fly because it's tied to one particular instance. So we're just going to create a session state database, and I call it the standard name, which is ASP state. You can call it anything you like. So the accelerator will go ahead and do the same thing there, create a new database, and put in the base session state data for us. And then it's going to update the machine key in the web config file for Embraco. And finally, it's going to let us go ahead and upload our Embraco site to our blob storage. And then the one piece we're going to need is we need to give it a host name. We need to give it a domain, right? Because we have to know how to get to this. So for now, let's call this one mix.embraco.com. All right, and here's the UI part of this. So this just says which domain do you want, where's your content, and the storage account name. And if you like, if you're using this in, say, a development or testing environment, you can also just update your local host file. So that all that does is maps the IP address back from your hosted deployment, your service deployment, to your local host file so you can access without having to update DNS. So let's just let this go. And while that's going, let's go ahead and flip back over and have a look at how it's going as far as deployment. So it's still initializing. But let's go ahead and have a look at the deployment we do have out there. And that one's available at this DNS name, which is the Cloud App name. And this is the one that Azure actually creates, right? This is the DNS name that it creates for us. So we can see here, we can run any number of sites. Obviously, these are extra small instances, so you don't probably want to run a whole lot of sites. But you can run a couple, and they're okay. Anyways, here's what we've got. So the one we just deployed is mix.embraco.com, and the one that I had done earlier is mix demo. So let's go ahead and have a look at that. So mix demo. Okay. And what this should be is, so we have Embraco deployed, and it's just like you deployed it to a host or locally or some other web server from this point forward. So we'll just step through the Embraco configuration wizard, accept our license. And you can see we skipped right over the database section up here, and that's because the database configuration was already done for us by the accelerator. And then we'll just give it a password that no one can guess. And make sure once this is done, we essentially have a site. We're just going to choose a starter kit. It's a great place to start with Embraco. So you can get a basic site, see how things are put together. It takes a few seconds. It actually goes out to a web public repository, fetches all the bits and brings them down. And then, of course, we'll want to give it a skin. So let's go ahead and do that. Same thing, goes out to a skin repository, brings the files down. So it's not shipped with the actual Embraco install. And once that's done, we're all done, and we can go ahead and fire up our Embraco site and work with it just like we could if it was local or at any other hosts, traditional or otherwise. Well, that is pretty much all there is to it. It's pretty quick to get through. Obviously, the one piece you have to wait for is uploading your actual files, right? So the faster network you're on, the faster this is going to happen. And you need to actually wait for your roles to come online. So all that stuff needs to happen. And again, you can always take a look at sort of what you have going on by using just the Azure DNS name for this, which is gives you this default landing page. Okay, so that is the accelerator. And there's a couple more pieces to talk about. So here's all the steps. We need to talk about every single one of these, but you can see that there's a lot of stuff going on in a deployment. Generating the certificate, because you have to have a certificate with RDP, with Azure to keep everything encrypted. Creating the SQL databases, both for Embraco and for session state. And then updating the Embraco configuration around session state, changing it from in process to SQL. And then updating a machine key, and of course setting all the SQL connection strings to be appropriate for Azure, SQL Azure. Obviously moving the Embraco site up to the storage, and then updating the Embraco distributed publishing, which is just another configuration file that gets updated with the host names, internal host names of each of your nodes in Azure. And then finally making sure that sync is continually syncing your files. Okay. So there are some next steps after you've gotten this far, which hopefully you can do, and half an hour or so. You can scale this out just by adding instances. That's very simple to do. It's literally changing the configuration from the default of 2 to 4 or whatever you need it to be. You can run multiple Embraco sites as we saw in one deployment. You can use App Fabric Cache for session state, which we highly recommend, so you don't have that SQL dependency at all. You can obviously use the Azure CDN, and that helps speed things up even more. Obviously, if you have seen it, I don't know if you have, but look around for this ACS, it's the Access Control Service extension for Embraco. It's a really nice way to integrate federated identity into Embraco. And finally, didn't get caught in the guide, but just make a note of this to look for it. If you're doing this, there's one special way you need to account for all the permutations of domain names. And so you need to create an extra CNAME record along with your domain. And Steve Marks has a really good blog post on how to do that. It's quite simple, but you wouldn't know it inherently. Okay. And here is where you get it. So it's got to be the longest CodePlex project name. So that's where you get that. It's open source under the Microsoft permissive license, which is a good license. And then Embraco, of course, you can get also from CodePlex, embraco.codeplex.com with the MIT license. Or if you like to install Embraco using, say, WebDeploy, WebPI, or WebMatrix, you can get it from the Web App Gallery or directly from WebPI or WebMatrix, if you like. And that is it. We have a few minutes left, which is great, considering the little hiccup there with SQL. And I think I will just take some questions if anyone's got them. Happy to do that for the next 5 minutes or so. Yeah, sure. Yeah, so the question is everything available? Yes, it's all, everything we looked at are the bits from here. So it's fully released, and no, again, right, it's just, everything we looked at is open source, so there's nothing involved in it except to go get it and try it yourself, okay? Yes, sir. Sure. So the question is, how do you go about modifying a Bracco files after you've deployed it, right? So two ways. One, if you are working in Bracco, and this is changing files, say a template file or a CSS or a script file, it's using that sync mechanism. It's going to sync it back to your blob storage, which is then in turn going to sync it to any other instances that you have deployed. If you wanted to say you make a local change, right? You're a developer and you make a change locally and you want to push those out, you can push those right to your blob storage, and then the blob storage will synchronize those with each of your nodes as well. Sorry, the blob storage doesn't do that. The accelerator will sync the files from blob storage to each of the nodes that you have deployed. Does that make sense? Great. Simple. Okay. I'm sorry. Any production sites? Sure. Yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, I wouldn't call it like thousands, but considering this has been out for all of, 3 days or something. So CodeGarden.com, which is our conference site, is out, and it's, really nice, clean site. It's and super snappy. I mean, we're super happy with the performance we're getting off of Azure. Some of our partners, RedEngine.com, is live on Azure, and they're also using the access control service on their site. As well as, let's see if I can remember this one. Oh, it's good, I've got it. So if you're looking for something to do this summer and you happen to be going to Edmonton, which is a popular location for summer, Fort Edmonton, I actually typed those in up here. I know they didn't show up for you guys, but they were exciting sites, let me tell you. But Fort Edmonton Park is live as well. So this is one of those sites where, right, they have all of their traffic essentially comes in the summer because, well, I don't think they're open in the winter for obvious reasons. And there's Red Engine and CodeGarden, our CodeGarden.com site. And there are others as well. In fact, if you follow Twitter, if you follow the term hashtag Azure, hashtag Bracco, you'll actually see people are putting it up right now. Saw a couple this morning already. Okay. Great. Yeah. So the question is, what are the drawbacks of using the accelerator versus a standard deployment? I guess the only drawback is that you don't get to personally write that code that does the synchronization. So if you miss that part of it, you can do it yourself. Does that make sense? So all the accelerator does it's a combination of deployment and actually that syncing mechanism and the piece that maps the host name to the actual instance that's running, right? If the application generates files, can you sync them? Yep. Yeah. So. So the question is, let me see if I can paraphrase, but is this Bracco specific is kind of the question. And no, it's not, right? I mean, there happens to be some Bracco specific folders in there, because with Bracco, you won't sync every file. There's some files that should live only on a node and get generated, like client dependency in our cache file, for example. But you could use this code to, say, deploy another app as well and sync the files. So that part of it is generic, if that makes sense. So it would sync across any instance that you had, any file that was in a blob store that the accelerator knew about, whether it was an Bracco file or not. Okay? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you would in that case you'd use kind of a yeah you'd set up. So the question is, can you have a separate authoring environment from your front end environment? Right. Sure. Absolutely. That's no different than that would be in any other scenario. So you'd create an authoring environment, whether it's in-house or somewhere else, right? And then when you're ready to publish, you'd actually deploy those changes to Azure, either using a deployment like we looked at by copying the files into and updating the database, or using a tool like we provide, such as we have a tool called Courier that's just for that, and there's no difference. So it's just using domain configuration. I see that I'm out of time, so thanks very much. If you guys have questions hereafter, but you should stay for Neil's talk. It's quite good. Okay, thanks.